What's going on, guys? You're getting down with the Get Down right here with us, so stay tuned as we get the beat to This Way. Come and set me these chains on me.
Hey,
won't let me be.
Hey,
you got the key.
Here we go.
Come set me free.
Get in my lane.
Listen. We've been set free, y'all.
Woo!
The Get Down has come back, and I feel like I've been set free.
I've definitely been set free.
Because I've been in the closet just waiting for the show to come back. You guys, thank you so much for tuning in here to the official AfterBuzz for the Get Down. It's part two to the new season. I'm your girl, Francelli Chapman, at Selly Hangout, leading this thing. And hanging with me is Sheldon and Kiki Boomer.
Hey!
What's up, y'all? Tell people how they can get down with you.
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom. And, guys, I'm in the live chat, so give us your comments. Let us know how you felt about the Get Down.
What's up? My name is Sheldon White. You can find me on all social media at Sheldon White 2.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Let's just get right down to it. I want to give a special shout-out to Stephen Adley Gurgis. I love him so much. He's an amazing, prolific writer, playwright, who actually co-created The Get Down. Oh, my God. I'm from New York, so you know I have a thing for theater.
Beautiful.
And I have a thing for theater folks, and I have a thing from the Bronx, because I'm from the Bronx. So I'm super excited. Let's get into episode one, which is called Unfold Your Own Myth.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things unfolded in this episode. The episode kicked off, as it always does, with the adult Mr. Books.
Yes.
With the voice of Nas.
Nas. I love Nas.
Don't we love Nas's voice? I can hear his voice all day.
It's beautiful.
It's like listening to a great story, so I love that Nas is the person who is
the narrator, the storyteller.
He's the narrator, he's the storyteller, because he's rapping, but I feel like it's Nas doing his own raps, because Nas is a poet as well. So I always love that.
So easy to listen to. Like, you're just totally engaged from the moment he starts to the moment he ends. You just want him to keep going.
Yeah.
I love him.
And the Bronx is the backdrop. It's fall 1978.
Ooh,
the graffiti's everywhere.
Buildings.
Bronx is burning.
Oh.
But Ezekiel is down with his pen and paper and pad, but this time he's not writing rhymes. He's writing a college essay.
Baby trying to go to Yale.
He's trying to go to Yale. He wants to get out.
I love it, but I love that his college essay was like a rhyme.
Yeah.
It was like poetry.
It was authentic. It was real. It was him.
Yes.
Like, I feel like if they got all their college essays, his would just stand out on its own because it was so raw, which is awesome.
Authenticity is so important. That's such a gem that I hope young people who watch the show can just muster on the inside of them, because there's all this pressure to try to be great and look better than all these other applicants. There's so much pressure now to get into college for these young folks. And it's like, if you just be you,
be yourself,
your unique self, the way God made you, that is enough.
Right.
And if that door doesn't open, it's because another one, something much greater is in store for you.
Yep.
So don't put that much pressure on yourself, you know?
Right. That's good.
I just want to say that.
I like
young people.
People. And I like that he kept it real. He told his real life story. Because at first he was struggling. He kept throwing the paper away. He's like, no, this sounds too cocky. This sounds too conceited. Let me just be me. And he told the real life story about where he comes from.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The streets of the Bronx, 1978. Which is not an easy place to be in 1978.
Now, one of the most precious things about Zeke's authenticity is him talking about the duality of growing up in the hood, but wanting to get out and living that code switch in life. Yeah. How do you guys feel about the code switch? Do you do code switching in your
house?
Definitely being from the Bronx, I have to admit, code switching is in my DNA.
There's been a few times where, you know, Sally's from the Bronx, I'm from Brooklyn. So, but I grew up in Boston as well. So I had the opportunity to live in both. But I will say, as an adult, there has been times where I've done the code switch. You know, when you're at work sometimes, you can switch it up a little bit and let them know, like, look, this is how it is.
Yeah.
This is how it's going to be. But I think it's really interesting to see Zeke battle that. You know what I'm saying? Because this is where he comes from. But I think it's also awesome that he has this amazing teacher and his aunt that's kind of pushing him to do something great. Like, you're so dope. Why would you want to live this life, you know?
But it's also to the point that he's trying to say this is not all of who he is.
Right.
Right.
You know, the duality of this is where I come from, but that's not just who I am.
Yeah.
Do I have some street in me? Of course.
Right.
But can I hang with the boys
of, course.
Of the Yale Club? I can do that too.
You can do it, absolutely.
You know, and I think that's what real code switching is. I think for a long time, especially young people from the inner city, you go kind of through an identity crisis. You start to feel like, I have to choose between one world. I have to, if I'm going to speak proper, then I have to speak proper always. Right. If I'm going to speak hood, then I got to be in my hood language. And not necessarily. It's all of who you are. And just like the way you dress for the gym isn't the same way you dress for work. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think being able to sift through that and find a way to still be you is the key.
That's the
to figuring all that out.
That is definitely key. And that's why I love that Zeke was able to keep it real in his Yale college essay.
I love it.
Sat down and wrote the most illest rhymes / poetry, but was telling a story.
Right.
So I love that he was able to be himself.
Yes.
But let them know, like, I can go to Yale. Yeah. I'm smart. I'm books.
Hello.
But I'm going to spit these rhymes. So you make a really good point. I agree.
And we get reintroduced to the gang, and now they have, like, their names and their titles, which I was in love with. Ra-Ra is the oracle, the guru.
The oracle.
All seeing. We got Boo Boo, the wild one, in the heart of the group. Yeah. Dizzy is the public enemy number one. And Shaolin Fantastic, and, of course, Books, the MC. How do you guys feel about this comic duality? Like, whenever they're showing the boys, we're going into a comic book.
I loved it. I loved it because it made me... I'm not from the 70s. I didn't grow up in the 70s. But watching things from the 70s, it made me think of, like, the Jackson 5 kind of cartoon that they had out. And it made me feel kind of like I was in the 70s. And I love that they made them into, like, a comic, and they had their three gods. And I just, I loved it because it was fun, and it wasn't so serious.
Right.
You had the serious side because they were, what I love about The Get Down is the stock footage that they show of the real, like, Bronx burning. But when you see that, you can also be playful and see the comic. And when they are going through something serious, they kind of show it in a playful way. So I love it.
I gotta be honest, at first I was kind of like, wait, what? Like, I was surprised they didn't do that from the beginning of the show. It was like, I was like, wait, where did this come from? And it took me a minute to adjust to it.
Okay.
But by the end of the second episode, I love the cartoons, the animation. I thought it was fun. And I saw what you saw in it at first, but I was like, wait, what just happened? What are you doing?
What I really love is that, like, Dizzy is writing to Thor, because we find out that Thor goes to jail for what they've been doing, tagging up the city. And so, where we from, we don't call it writing letters, we call them writing kites.
Yep.
When you write to someone who's incarcerated. And so I like that his kite writing to Thor is the comic book strip and telling the story, what they're going through, and then he throws it out the window like a kite.
That was
and
cool.
It flies to him.
That was cool.
That like, for those who don't got the hood pass and don't know about the kites, that's why they throw it through the window and it flies like that. Because people are like, how are you going to throw a pick? Because from a realistic standpoint, how do you throw a paper and it gets to him?
Exactly.
But that's the artistic way of showing the kite getting to him, which I thought love was so dope.
Just want to give a quick shout out. We have Low Key Star 45 in the live chat. She says, I love this show.
What's up?
Hey, girl.
How you doing?
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for
hanging
with us.
Just want to give her a quick shout out.
Yeah. So for me, those little things that this show is able to accomplish, like just the details that they have in the costumes, the music, like everything is just so, so amazing. But we see Cadillac is back.
Oh man.
Cadillac still wants him some Mylene.
Forever.
Cadillac.
I'm going to need him to have a seat. Several seats.
Cadillac is so animated. He's like the clown. But I kind of like, I like Cadillac, even though I don't like him. I just like how goofy he is, because when you see him, he's like doing the, like, the 70s walk, the strut down the street, his outfits. And he's always, I feel like when you look at Cadillac, he's always dancing. He's always doing some disco thing. And he'll be saying something serious. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to kill somebody. But Cadillac
it's
is
so
like legit.
Funny.
He's so
he
goofy.
He just cracks me up. Like, he's so hard 1 minute, and the next he's like getting on the dance floor.
Right.
It's so fun. Such a fun character.
Disco boogie.
Oh, it's great.
But at the same time, I feel like he is that, like, dirty old uncle that's looking at the niece. Because Mylene's so young.
She's
what
like
are you doing?
High school.
How
he's
old
like
a, is she? High
she's
school.
She's in
yeah,
high school.
Right.
Yeah, they're seniors in high school.
And he's a grown man.
And he's, like,
he's
really
talking
pining
about,
after her.
I'm going to take her, be my wife. And he's just
my Cadillac. You
this is nasty.
She's in high school, bro.
Like, you're disgusting. Were they not?
But look where
like,
his, but look
were
who
they
his
not laws
is.
For
know,
the pedophiles back then?
I don't think so. But look who his mother
you're
is.
Right. You
she's,
come from that,
she's,
Annie.
She's pimping.
She's
she was sleeping with
Shaolin.
She's sleeping with Shaolin, and he's a baby. So
yeah, that's
I
true.
Mean, but it's true. It's like the thing. Like you, I look at it like these young girls back then. It's like there was no line,
right?
And there should be a line.
There should.
These girls are in high school.
Right.
They're not grown women, but his mama.
He comes Fat from, Annie. He comes from Fat Annie. Right. What do you expect?
So the Get Down brothers are the cocaine brothers. What's going on?
Child.
Like, yeah. They got this whole operation going down. They're making
bank.
Crazy cash.
Bang.
Like, what?
They're
what?
Living the life. Their little outfits, their jackets
they're
are on point.
They're smoking weed. They're popping champagne.
Smoking a little dust here and there.
They got their driver. They're just, like, going.
Pizza.
Dizzy's doing lines. I'm like, wait, this is too much for my life.
I'm like, what it's happened crazy. To the little babies who had their cute little 70s little shorts and their little socks? They're legit.
No, they're grown up now.
These are some grown little babies what, and they're styling.
Do we know what the time jump was? Like, now it's 1978, but what was it before?
I think it was like 77 to 78.
So it was
yeah,
like
it's
a
been a year. This is just a year.
That's a year. That is a year for them as individuals. Yeah.
Well, in New York back then,
right.
You know, like, kids grew up really fast. They were on the train late at night. Parents were working. It was just a different time.
I will say, like, a friend of mine, she's not from New York, but she used to tell me, like, coming to New York as kids, you're kind of forced to grow up.
Oh, for sure.
And like you said, like, I remember growing up, like, I was taking the bus and train by myself.
By
and
sixth
I was
only grade. Like sixth grade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 10 years Jeez. Old.
Going. Yeah, I was riding the train by myself by the sixth
bus
grade.
Bus and train.
For sure.
Really?
My grandmother broke it down
hop in
to
the
me.
Turnstile.
Hop in the turnstile. I used to go under the turnstile. She would tell me where to go, where to get off. Don't talk to any strangers.
Right.
But we were legit taking trains and buses to school myself. So you are kind of forced to grow up because your parents are
you're
working.
You're a grown adult.
Blows my mind. I'm from small town Ohio.
Yeah.
My mommy drove me everywhere.
You took the cheese bus.
I took the cheese.
Yes.
But it's true. You see the little Get Down brothers. You know, Shaw doesn't have a family. Mm-hmm. Zeke is with his aunt and his uncle. And the boys, like, their parents work.
Right.
So these kids are like forced to grow up.
Right.
And they're really independent.
But that's why I appreciate the show so much, because it is a culture shock. I grew like, I didn't grow up, but I lived in Macomb, Illinois for 3 years before I moved to the Bronx.
Ah.
Well, Washington Heights. I moved to Washington Heights first. So it's like leaving Macomb, Illinois, where there wasn't even a mall.
Right.
And then you get to New York, and now, like, my mom had to work, so she couldn't take me to school. I had to take the train by myself. It was such a culture shock
because
I was riding the cheese bus.
Right.
And then it was like, I spoke like this because, like, I'm from Macomb. I'm like Francelli. Oh, my God. And people in the Bronx wanted to fight me the first week of school because that's not the language they speak to survive.
Mm-hmm.
My language had to change.
Yeah.
So for years, I felt like Zeke, like, do I talk like the Macomb white girl is what they called me? Because to speak proper was allegedly white. And then, or do I speak this way? And that was an identity issue a lot, because that's puberty. That's when, and they're in their prime. Like, and so we see Boo, who's like trying to get the girls.
You want to make out?
He wants a girl so bad. And that's the age, high school. Like, I think we forget that we want to be validated so bad at that age. We want to be liked. And there's just it's so genuine. And I really, really love it. But speaking of being validated and affirmed, Zeke is super hyped for his girl, Mylene.
Child.
She's going to be on Platinum Boogie. He's like, that's my girl, that's my girl, that's my girl. But
AKA
then
Soul Train, which I did
she
Soul Train.
Gets asked if she's single, and she says yes.
Child.
So she did not affirm or validate that relationship.
He was so heartbroken because before he's like, that's my girl. I love my girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he understood, of course, that is for publicity. And she felt like she had to do that. And I said, poor Zeke. Womp, womp in front of the crew, especially in front of Shaw, because Shaw can't low-key stand Mylene.
Right.
And, you know, he wants him to be part of this, like, B-boy world. So for Mylene to go on TV and say, no, I'm single, I'm good.
Ugh, that must have been super rough. But at the same time, poor Mylene.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she's pulled in every single possible direction by so many people.
Right.
She can't, and she doesn't know how to be herself yet. She also probably doesn't even quite know who she is yet.
Mm-hmm.
She just wants to sing.
And she's just so much in the public spotlight now.
It makes you think of, like, the Mariah Careys and all the people that talk about being a child star and having no control over their voice, their image, their career. We get introduced to A&R Shane Vincent.
Shane.
Shout out to my boy Jeremy Harris. Oh my God. It's so crazy to see your friends on
shows. They do big things. That's amazing.
Shane Vincent is my friend. Yes.
Awesome.
Jeremy Harris does a phenomenal job. He's also on Legion. So shout outs to him for working. We see Shane Vincent, and I still don't know how I feel about Shane Vincent.
Me neither.
What his motives are.
Me
whose side is he really on? Like,
because Shane, wants to be a good person, so I'm still kind of iffy about Shane.
But I think he's in this business.
He's in the business, mm-hmm. but I think he low-key, one, likes Mylene, even though he's married.
She keeps throwing that out there. He's married.
I'm like, girl, that has not stopped a man for hitting on you. You know, because you have this young, beautiful girl.
Yeah, she's and gorgeous.
Everybody wants a piece of Mylene. So Shane, I'm still iffy about Shane.
And they got a weird relationship, too, because they she's leaning on it. Yeah. He's the one person I feel like that she is being like, I don't know what's going on. I don't mm-hmm. know what to do. She's able to like open up to him more than she can to Zeke, more than she can to her right. parents.
And he knows that.
Right.
Everybody.
Shane knows that. And I think he's using that.
Something's going to happen.
Because he's always trying to throw shade when little Zeke comes around. He's like, oh, bro, I got this. No, you don't, Shane.
Well, but he probably sees Zeke as a distraction.
He probably does. But I think for both ways. I think he sees him as a distraction for work and because he likes Mylene.
Right? Yeah.
He's like, how can I get her little buster boyfriend out the way? Mm-hmm. I'm the big exec. I'm the grown man.
All these grown men after this young girl. It's sickening. I'm over it.
But little Regina don't mind.
Tell him why you're mad. Tell him why you're mad. Tell him. But I'm mad at the father, too.
Ugh.
So controlling. Super Papa. Religious. Not that I have anything against religion. Shout out to Jesus. But
he's trying to get a piece of the pie himself.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, she gets invited to go to Studio 54 and party with Michael Jackson.
The man, Michael Jackson.
And she can't go?
She can't ride a horse with Diana Ross and Michael Jackson at Studio 54.
The way I'm set up, I don't know. Me and my dad would have not been friends after that.
No. Studio 54 was the biggest club at that time. Michael Jackson... legend. Come on.
Papa Ramon, he just makes everything about himself.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, it just blows my mind because he, like, puts on this face of, like, oh, I'm a good Christian man. This is what God would want. But really, he's just using his own daughter, exploiting her.
Exactly. Her face is all awful. Over everywhere. Like, come to the church where Mylene Cruz
exactly.
is.
Exactly. He's mm-hmm. exploiting
Didn't
her.
You condemn her for even singing secular music in the first place?
Right. So at first you think he's trying to be this protective dad at the beginning. And I get that this dad wants to protect his daughter. But now it's like you're trying to exploit your daughter right. and her talent. Like, you're meeting with all these big people and you're trying to be on the radio and television. Bruh.
Ultimately, so you get attention.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it really comes down, I think, with him for him getting attention by people, him wanting the spotlight.
Right.
It's. Oof.
Well, speaking of exploiting, the boys are fighting over the exploitation of what they feel Shao is doing.
Yes.
He's getting the big envelope, the mo money, mm-hmm. and then they're just getting $10, $20 a piece. I'm like, whoa. Even though $20 back then was still some money,
but it's not that big envelope.
It's not what he's getting.
But I love that the boys spoke up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they have this friendship and partnership where they feel like, even though Shaw's, you know, big, but they can tell him, like, yo, that's not cool. That's not cool. And I like how Dizzy was like, I'm out. You can keep that $10. You know, we are in this together.
Mm-hmm.
Though you're our DJ, we're your MCs. We're the reason why this club is packed. You're getting an envelope. And we're eating slices of cheese pizza and getting $20. That's not how that works. So I love that they were able to speak up for themselves, Sasha.
I like that for sure. And I think they definitely deserve more money. But isn't it... maybe I'm confused, but isn't it right that Shao is also doing all this cocaine stuff?
Right. He's True. Getting so, like, the drug
he's
money.
He's also going to go be the one to go down.
Right.
Like, if they get in trouble. So maybe he does deserve a little bit more of the cut.
But what about his whole monologue? Like, his whole monologue... Like, say that then.
Right.
Like, keep it real and be like, look, I'm the one pushing this money. I'm the kingpin, so I'm making this money. But he made it more so, I'm the DJ, I'm the conductor, y'all just instruments.
Exactly.
As if they're not important. And I think we'll see what happens in the show. But I also think that that's what changed hip-hop. Because it was that way when hip-hop started. It started the DJ, Grandmaster Flash, started hip-hop. But... sooner or later, MCs got away from that, and it was about them creating their own music without beats that were already songs that were already made. Beats started getting produced organically because they keep throwing that out there like, this is illegal. You're using illegal music. How can we actually make money off of this when we don't have the rights to this music? So they're getting to the place where they're finally going to introduce, hey, this is how music ended up getting. Plus, I'm sure MCs were tired of
the DJ.
DJ's getting all the cut for their work. Sure. I'm writing these rhymes.
Like, you're behind me playing music, and that's an amazing talent. And that's a gift.
But my gift matters too.
And especially Zeke, because he's writing rhymes for all of them, even Shao sometimes. So that's why I love the quote, each one teach one, one hear and watches the other. Because we're supposed to be a group.
Yeah.
We're brothers. So you're getting a bigger cut. nah, you got to give us some of this money. Right. So I love that they were able to speak up for themselves and like, we're not feeling this at all. Especially Zeke. I feel like Shaw definitely respects Zeke's opinion. He gets more emotional, I think, when Zeke doesn't pay him any attention, whether like the like rah-rah and anyone else, he's like, whatever. But I think because Zeke is like, I'm not feeling what you're doing, Shaw's able to be like, all right, I'll think about it a little bit more. I think Zeke has that, like, not control, but I think he has that influence over Shaolin.
Right. He respects him.
Right.
He respects more
him.
Than
to the point that he writes this letter that he can't, what he can't express to his brother, he expresses through his poetry. And the line I love the most is, I hate drug dealers, and even though I love my best friend, he loved the streets, and the streets don't let go. Mm. It's only a matter of time before we reap what shall sow.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. What?
I love that. It's beautiful. I said, this old baby's a poet. Beautiful. Better let him into Yale.
I was like, oh. Seriously. I literally wanted to cry because, I mean, he lost his parents to the drug game. Both of them.
Yes.
And he's seen the consequences to this life, and it's that thing, like, you want to get out. We talk about that on the break. Yeah. You want to get out and your friends don't want to let you get out. And you're just torn between this entire lifestyle. But let's talk about Miss Claudia.
Child.
You know, they working together at this internship.
Little Claudia got her.
Miss Claudia.
Now, I had a minute, but I was like, wait, oh, Miss Claudia. Miss Claudia. Okay.
She invites him to lunch. He turns her down because, you know, he got lunch with his main squeeze.
His butterscotch. His butterscotch queen.
From then, I knew she had eyes on him. I was like, she plotting. She up to something. But Mylene and Zeke's lunch doesn't go too well.
Yeah.
You know, Shane Vincent comes in and says, yo, we got to get to this photo shoot. They got this whole thing. Tension is flowing. So then he ends up working late with Claudia.
Claudia got her, you know, Claudia's like that New York City Upper East Coast, Upper West Coast girl from Connecticut, wherever. And there's this bad boy to her.
Right.
Because he's not a bad boy. But there's this boy who's from the different side of the tracks.
Right.
And she's the girl who probably goes to school and they're all like, we love everybody. We hate our parents. Let's march and all that stuff. That's why, you know, she says the things to her dad, like, easy for you because you're the white guy. So I think she sees Zeke as something different and she's like, oh, I want a piece of that. And she definitely is aggressive.
She's going for it.
She went for it.
She's like, you gonna take this kiss.
Right.
And it made him think about, like, oh, Mylene, I forgot I had to be someplace.
Right.
So I think Claudia, you know.
He got lost, though, in that moment.
He did.
Like, he could have stopped it a long time. Like, a long time before the kiss happened.
He got into it, I think, because he got to teach her a little bit about the Get Down and music.
And she was like, oh, you're talented.
I think that kind of
Man, a man loves his ego stroke. Yeah. Let's keep it all the way
smart.
Real.
She knew what she was doing.
So he's like, oh, this is what it is. This is this record. This is the Get Down. And she's like, really?
Oh, wow.
But my DJ.
Let's dance.
But let's not take too much away from Claudia. Let's keep it real. I think she's really interested in who he is and where he comes
from. I agree
from.
With you.
And unfortunately, Mylene doesn't respect hip-hop.
She doesn't give it...
She thinks it's a joke, to be honest, and she only supports it because she supports Zeke, but she wants him to get out. So there's this part of Zeke that I think doesn't get as excited to be able to show this side of his life because he knows she doesn't support it. So here's someone that he can, like, talk about it, and she's like, oh my God, cool. So it's unfortunate, but that's how cheating happens because you feel safe where your partner doesn't allow you to feel safe. And that's why you can't change people. You got to accept them where they are and who they are. This is so much a part of Zeke's DNA.
And
he is an MC.
And I like that they were able to have, like, conversations about what was really going on. Like, she asked him about Jim Jones and the president and stuff. And they have real conversations where I feel like him and Mylene don't really talk about other things but themselves and what's going on. And he got, like you said, he got to talk about his craft and his love to someone totally different.
Exactly.
And she was interested because she's in the punk scene. You know what I'm saying? So for her to listen to the hip hop, I think it was really dope for him to be like, yeah, this is the Get Down. This is what my DJ does. So
and at the same time, on top of that, Mylene isn't really giving Zeke much attention because she doesn't have the time to.
Doesn't.
I'm not blaming her for that.
Right.
But he's not getting any attention from not even a 20-minute lunch.
That's true because Shane's like, bruh, it's 2 minutes in. You need to wrap it up.
Right.
So this is the first time he's getting attention from a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she's showing love and it's all positive and they work together a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
That is how cheating happens.
Lydia and Francisco get down.
Oh, I love
We've been waiting for this moment.
I love
I've been like, Jesucristo, I could. No,
I feel like I'm watching a telenovela.
It was amazing.
I was like, yes, you better get your girl. Woo. Get your girl. I know that's your brother.
It's so messy. It's so weird. It's so messy.
So much messy. Going on.
The thing is, she was with him first.
You wrote about their past. They had
She was with
first.
Him first. And then, you know, he got locked up. And then the brother came to save the day. And then,
she couldn't really be herself with Ramon. Like, you know, she becomes this wife of a guy who's a pastor. They have the kids. And, you know, she's been pining for Francisco. And I just love that now he's like, look, I can't take it no more. I cannot take it. Like, I love you. And they get it popping. Like, and I feel like because she's also not getting the attention from Ramon, because now Ramon is focused on this big church that he just purchased. Mm-hmm. He's focused on Mylene's career. So now she's at home, and I think she's proud of her daughter and she wants her daughter to live her dream. But I also think she's not getting attention from her husband, and this is her first true love.
Mm-hmm. Everyone not getting attention. Right. Mylene feels she don't get attention. So then she has a moment with Shane in the back of the car. It's like
too much
is happening. Mm-hmm. That's part two, episode one.
Woo! Boom.
Boom. Let's get to part two, episode two.
It gets so much better.
It gets so crazy. And it's called The Beat Says This Is The Way. They're trying to find their way. Zeke is trying to find his way. And we kick off with Shao finding the letter to Yale. Oh. Shao reads it. What were y'all thinking? Was your mouth agape the way mine was?
I was scared at first. I was like, fuck, he got the letter.
What's he gonna do? Like,
what's he gonna do? That was the question.
Because I'm like, I hope he doesn't take it. Part of me was like, great, he gets to at least know Zeke's story about how his parents were killed, about the drug dealing. He at least gets to know the truth of why Zeke is so passionate. But then I got nervous. I'm like, but wait, what is this boy going
to
do?
I was hoping it would be a chance for him to get inside Zeke's mind and just understand him, but that's just not Shao's way.
No, that's not how Shao gets down.
So I was like, no. So you think he would take it and be like, oh, this is where my man is standing. He's not really a part of it. Let me change my life. Shao's like, nope.
He's like, screw you.
I'm going to get us more money. He's not going to go to college. I'm gonna make sure he doesn't go to college so I can just get us this money, because he only wants to go to Yale for the money. No, Shaw.
He also doesn't want Zeke to leave him
at all.
Ultimately,
you know, this is his first real, besides Annie and them, which is not really a real family because she's been having sex with him and taking advantage of him. You know, their friendship is like a real life family. And I think this is the first relationship that he has that hasn't been either taken away from him or hasn't been bad. So he does not want his best friend to leave him. It's kind of sad.
But then Boo wants to get in the game.
Oh, no, little Boo.
I know, little innocent Boo.
Like, I'm so distraught.
For all the wrong reasons.
But what I did appreciate is how I knew Zeke's letter landed on Shao is the fact that Shao didn't want Boo to get in the game.
Yes.
And he's like, what are you doing? You have a family. I have no other choice. Yep. You have people who love you, care about you, and are willing to, like, fight for you. I don't have that. Yeah. But he's like, but I don't have a way out of this. Like, I don't have college. I don't have the education. So they're going to go. They're going to leave us all behind. Plus, there's this girl I want.
I want to buy her Gucci. Like,
she wants Gucci. I'm like,
boy, if you don't sit down, you want to sell drugs to buy a girl Gucci and the finer things of life. You
guys are 12. These men got
he doesn't know. He's so young.
He doesn't know.
But it was such a good moment for Shao.
Yes. Like,
it was a... He was being the older protective brother instead of being the reckless one of the group. And I really enjoyed seeing that in Shao.
I did too. And I think for Shao was like, you know what? You're going to probably try to do it anyway. I'd rather you do it with me.
Where I can protect you.
Exactly. Don't tell him. So I love seeing that side. I love seeing him open up to Boo Boo like that and was like, yo. Even when they were arguing about the money and... You know, he steps up to Rara, and Rara tells Boo Boo, let's go. And he's like, don't step up to my little man like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's like, that's his little brother, because they are becoming that big family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sad because Boo Boo wants to do that. And I'm like, no, Boo Boo, you're so little. Go to school. But I like that Shao was
he's
like...
He's realistic.
Yeah. Like, I got you.
Right.
You're just going to be a runner for now. Don't talk to anyone. Don't tell anyone. I'm like, no, Boo Boo, no. Go home.
Mylene's always comparing herself to Misty Copeland. She feels like...
She's obsessed.
She feels like she's not enough. She doesn't sing as good as her, but Misty, I don't think I remember that from part one, that she was sleeping with Marrakesh.
They only mentioned it this recently.
Because I was like, wait, what? And she breaks up with him? Oh, Lord. And so he's on a rampage. He's upset. He's like, get all this stuff out of here. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to sing the song. I want Mylene to sing this song.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all sex.
All sex.
They want Mylene to be the next sex kitten turned cat woman.
Yep.
And, but it, you know, she sings religion. Like, how's this gonna work?
Ramon is not gonna be happy about this. I just love saying this. Ramon. I just, you know, Roy's like, you know, he's like, have you seen Misty Sitz and, Homeboy's like, she's only 30. Like, calm down.
What do you think Mylene wants to sing this, like, sex music?
I think she doesn't know.
She doesn't know what she wants. What she knows she doesn't want is to be controlled. What she knows is that she wants to have the freedom to discover herself for herself and sing disco.
And I think her trying not to be controlled is going to be her, leading her to do things to be that controlled. She might...
To be controlled. They're playing manipulation on her.
Yeah. And that she has to now sing this dirty song and according to them, and they have to do the crazy dance moves and the sex, and I think she doesn't know what she wants, but she, like you said, she definitely does not want to be controlled by her father, her uncle,
so she's gonna rebel, and that's how people rebel.
You know, sometimes when parents do the most, it pushes your kids to do the opposite of what you don't want them to do.
Exactly.
So that's unfortunate why people rebel.
And how you were saying about Shane, because he said, have you seen Mylene's tits? He's like, how could you miss them? So I'm like, Shane, you checking?
Shane.
Jeremy, stop checking for these young girls.
Shane, she only 17.
I'm calling you. I'm coming for you.
He's like, yes, I want her to, you know, she is sexy. I'm like, Shane.
Stop it.
She's 12. It's a little stop girl. It. Missy's only 30. Stop. Roy's just mad because she broke up with him. And
well, next we see that the Oracle has spoken. Ra-Ra breaks down the music industry and forecasts exactly how this is going to be the biggest profit. Next to Meatloaf. Okay.
Right.
You better compare hip-hop to Meatloaf.
I love Ra-Ra.
And I love how he breaks down how, like, the white boys stole this, and that's how Elvis Presley came to do what he does, which is so true. And he's like, I bet you in the future the white boy is going to be... And I'm like...
Welcome to 2017.
Welcome to 2017. Where they all bumping that race.
It's so true. Like, he predicted the future of what hip-hop is. He's like, this can be something big. We can make money off of this. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at hip-hop... You look at hip-hop back then where people were like, this is noise. You guys are messing up classic music. And you look at hip-hop today and how big it is.
Yep.
And people are making the money off of hip-hop. It's ridiculous. So I feel like, if you look back, I bet Kool Herc and Flash and them would have never thought.
Never guessed.
Where hip-hop would be where it is today. So I love that Baby Ra-Ra was like, look, we can do this.
It's so cool to that Ra-Ra, that's his purpose in the group. Like, they each have a very specific purpose, and yet they're all talented, and it's nice to see him have his moments where he can figure this stuff out.
For sure.
Because I don't know if the other ones would have done it.
True.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I love Ra-Ra. He, even though he stutters and he gets nervous, but I love him because I love that he speaks up to Sean. Yeah. I love that he puts everything forward and he's like, we can do this, guys.
Well, he's the visionary, I feel.
He is. He's going to be like a mogul, I feel like, when he grows up. Like, we see Books like as the Russell rapper. Simmons. He's going to be like the Russell Simmons.
Right.
He's going to be a dope mogul. So, I love Baby Ra-Ra.
They reference Donna Summers a lot. I mean, it is disco season, and it made me really think about, like, how music transcends. My mom grew up in that time, but she grew up in another country. My mom grew up in Dominican Republic and didn't know English, but loved Donna Summers.
Everyone loved her. Did not
understand anything that woman was saying, but just loved Donna Summers, and then comes to this country and has these kids. And I lived in Macomb, Illinois, and was bumping Biggie and Tupac and Nate Dogg. And my mom's like, quítame ese dong, 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 dong. Like, all she hears is the dong, dong.
Yes.
I'm like, but disco had a dong, dong, too.
Yeah.
It just didn't sound the way hip-hop sounds. And it's just interesting how, even if you don't speak the language, you hear the noise differently.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Depending on your culture, where you come from. Like, the doom doom to me was everything. You know?
Yeah. Like, I love it. And that's like every generation. Like, there's the rock and roll.
Right.
There's the punk. There's the hippie music. There's the disco.
Because the parents loved country.
Exactly. But you know what I love? Because Donna Summers was so huge. Even if you watch Selena, Donna Summers was her idol. Yes. She wanted to be Donna. Donna Summers was like the thing in
70s. Oh my gosh, for sure.
And that's what every little girl looked up to. They wanted to be Donna Summers. And then when you go into the 80s, it kind of goes into hip hop and then R&B. And look, I just love how music changes every generation. It's pretty dope.
And it was interesting too how they kept saying to Mylene, or not, they didn't say it's to Mylene, but they talked about how she could be the next Donna Summers. And that she really is a good Christian girl.
Right.
But she does this and that's okay.
Right.
And it works for her. And
it's
of course,
an image.
Yeah, exactly. People like Mylene, like you said, idolize Donna Summers.
Mm-hmm. It's your way in. Lashes for love. So I've been holding that Donna Summer song
since we started.
Well, Mylene and Zeke get into their first fight. Do you feel like Zeke kept it too real? Do you think he should have told her about this Claudia kiss, or he should have kept it to himself?
I think he did the right thing. Like, even though Mylene got upset, because I feel like if she would have found out what really happened, it would have ruined their relationship. So I like that he was real with her and was like, look, I was working with this girl. Mm-hmm. I almost kissed her, and this is what happened. That's why I didn't make it to your Tiger Beat shoot. I love that he was super real with her. And some people can't really handle the truth.
Right.
They want the truth, and they're like, well, tell me what happened. And once you give it to them, they get upset like Mylene did.
Honestly, that's the way to go. I think if he wasn't honest the next time he saw her, she would have found out. Who knows when? It could have been 2 years later, but she would have been pissed and she wouldn't trust him again. So, you know, definitely.
In my mind, I thought he wasn't going to tell her. And then I was like, Claudia, because she one of those chicks. I can already see it. Because she's like, are you going to see another girl? Mm-hmm. She would somehow or another, the opportunity would present itself where she would see him and she would call him out in front of her. Yes. And that would have been worse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As opposed to now, if she thinks she can try to ruin some, Mylene can check that ass and be like, oh, I already know, boo-boo, and you're not coming in between this.
That's why I'm happy that, that's why I wish more men were just so honest.
Exactly.
And respect their relationships, because if you do have a side chick or whoever you're messing with, they can't come now and be like, well, this is what's going on, because now your
I already knew. But then when she calls you and you don't know.
Yeah, I just wish more men paid attention to the type of chicks that they're dealing with, because if you look, Claudia is that girl. If she was in today's age and they had the social media, she's the girl that would hit up Mylene
on the
Instagram
DM.
And the DMs.
So, yeah, I'm banging your man.
She's that type. So I'm happy he was able to be like, look, this is what happened. And he got it out the way.
Must be rough for you, girl.
I'm telling you, I don't even want to.
We ain't going to get personal up in here.
Not a true story.
I can't relate. I can't relate whatsoever. No, I know nothing about this life. But they make up, which I really appreciate it. And that's the thing. Love transcends all.
Mm-hmm. Like, it does.
It's about not can you handle the truth, not that the truth does hurt. Yeah. But when you know that it's rooted in love, then you figure out a way to figure it out. And then that's what he said. He's like, as long as we love each other, which I think we lost sight of that. Mm-hmm. And that was beautiful. I'm like, man, if grown adults could talk like that to each other.
Can Zeke just write for every guy?
I was like,
how does a 17-year-old know what to say?
30-plus men to talk like
But I love... He's like, you poor thing.
We're on
our soapbox right now. Sorry. Let me get off the soapbox.
We're going to hold it back in. But
some guys.
I love that they go see...
Some guys.
Yes.
I love that they go see The Wiz, one of my favorite movies of all time. I love that movie. And I love that they went to... I love The Get Down because it's so authentic.
Yes.
And it's so on point. And I love that they were in the theater watching The Wiz, watching Michael Jackson and Diana Ross.
But were they watching The Wiz? Hey. So you know,
the kids used to do that back in the day. I think kids still do that. I think they still do.
With the hands.
That's how I know you're getting old. When I get on the subway train in New York and I'm seeing the kids making out, and I'm like, y'all, this is trifling. Why are y'all when you on the train? Age. And I was like, but wait, wasn't I doing that?
Exactly.
Wasn't I all bunned up in the corner of the train on the pole with my man?
Especially in movie theaters, if I'm sitting next to, I see a lot of young kids and I'm like, ew, but I'm like, wait a minute. Because I remember when I was about this age in the movie theaters.
Yes.
On some Zeke and Mylene-ish.
Before Jesus. He has saved us from all those sins.
That's love. Amen. As Ramon would say, amen.
Well, Zeke goes to the Yale club.
Oh, man.
The boys club. And has to go toe-to-toe with these fools and starts taking all these shots. Oh, Lord. Let me figure out how to say this.
That was intense. It was so rough
because I feel like it's still like that.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like...
I love how they had the minorities separated. First, Zeke thought he was the only minority there. And he's like, let me walk you around. And they had the other minority kids in the other room. And it, I think to him it was a shock because he's like, oh, wow, I thought I was the only person. And they're like, oh, no, we tried to let a minority into the school at least once.
I'm like, but you got to do this intake process that they got about. And then the fact that he can just freely call him a spick. and the N-word and just go off about, oh yeah, you know, the Puerto Ricans for the cucarachas. Oh, and I was like,
that was awful.
That was just so disrespectful.
And then he was like, it's a good thing you didn't punch him in the face. That's what they expected you to do. So it's like they purposely set you up to fail.
Yes.
Like, I'm gonna, you're from the inner city. You're an angry black man. So I'm gonna do everything and poke you to make sure you don't get in here.
It's crazy.
And then you do get in there and you have to live with swallowing that.
You
know, like,
you still have to fight.
My brother went to a white school. I went to an HBCU. Shout out to that. I love how they said that. Why don't you want to go to one of those Ivy League black schools in the South? Listen, my undergrad experience was the best experience of my life. Mm-hmm. Teachers that cared about me, bought me groceries, bought me books. At an Ivy League school, I would have just been another number. That's the reality. Would I've had more connections, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah, so for grad school, I should go. Right. But for undergrad, where it really, now that paper doesn't mean much, it's just the experience. Get the undergrad experience somewhere where people value who you are. Sorry, no disrespect to the top Ivy League schools, but you could be the smartest kid from the inner city and you go to this school and they just don't...
You're a nobody.
They just don't get it.
It's interesting. So I went to a school that had less than like 3% diversity. Mm-hmm. And because I grew up in a town that was super not diverse, I did know... I had the skill set to somehow manage and like work your way through. But like you said, it's a lot of swallowing. It's a lot of just figuring out how to survive in that kind of environment. My dad also went to the same school as me, and it was a different time then. But he had to learn how to speak differently when he was there. Right. Otherwise, he never would have succeeded, even though he was one of the best math guys there.
Of course. My experience was opposite. Like how you said you moved from Illinois to the Bronx. I moved from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, to Boston, which, you know, some people can say predominantly racist. Boston. So I went from, like, public schools in Bed-Stuy to Catholic high school, all-white Catholic high school. But my college experience was amazing. I went to an all-women school. And that's why I did that. My mother was like, they give you the most financial aid? Yeah, going. Went there, but it was the number one diverse school. So it was all women, but it was so diverse. So I was happy, like, when I came from my all-white high school, I got to go to this diverse college. So, you know, seeing Zeke in that situation, I just wanted to go through that screen and give him a hug because he had to fight and nobody had his back, really. And I take all those insults and all those mean things that they were saying to this kid in his face. And they were expecting him to throw punch.
It's awful. They're just watching to see how you react. And if you stand up for yourself, really, then all of a sudden you're the angry black man.
Yes.
And then you're done.
Exactly.
You're done.
My heart broke for him in that scene, and he just had to take it with a smile. Mm-hmm. Say, let me just do this because, you know, Papa Fuente wants me to do this, and let me just do good by this. But deep down inside, I'm like, Zeke. I felt like Shaw at that moment. Like, for real, for real.
Well, listen, we got to wrap up to get down really, really soon. So let's state the facts.
Oh.
Mylene and Zeke get down.
No, yes, they do.
That was some serious... She has some girl talk, dishes out to the girls how she had her big O with Zeke. He done changed her life.
They made love.
Shout outs to that.
Way to go, Zeke.
Then, you know, Shaw takes Ra-Ra because he has the vision to miss... You know, Fat Annie. They have that whole interchange. Then there's this big task for them to get Monday nights at the Inferno, but they must pack it. So Shao has to go on this secret mission by the gods of the get down to go and save the day and crash the party at the Yale Club and get Zeke out of there.
I love how he crashed the party.
No, he crashed
it.
He like legit crashed. He legit crashed it. So disrespectful, which I love.
And then he walked out.
He's like, no, he's kings like, walk.
We don't run.
But, I mean, I understand how it was the wrong way to handle it. But at the same time, it's like, look at these privileged white boys that get to do cocaine in a bathroom.
Freely.
With no...
He's and like, disrespect you in the bathroom as well.
He's like, oh, well, we handle this internally. Because he's like, what about the cops? Like, they are above the law.
Yes.
And they're not even adults yet. Like, to me, college, you're not an adult.
No.
You think you're an adult, but you have no responsibility. So it's already, the privilege is already ingrained in their mind that they're above the law, that they're above other people, that they can do anything with their power and their money. And unfortunately, that has continued generation through generation.
Yeah.
These people think that they're better than other people just because of their money and their power. Not all people.
Right.
But just in this scene, you know, is what we're seeing. And it was so infuriating. So I'm actually glad.
I'm glad. Shao
Dunn brought out the gun and showed them what time it was.
I'm glad. At first I was like, damn, Shao, like, you don't have to do it like that. But because, like I said, like, Zeke didn't have anyone to have his back. So I'm happy that Shao came through and was like, nah, B, we're not afraid of you. This is what's good. Like, what's up? So I'm happy he was able to come in and they walk out smoothly. He gives a high five to all the brothers in the back. He's like, what's up? And then they ride out
into the sunset. And they get to Inferno. It goes down. There's a B-boy battle. It's like B-boys versus disco. Amazing. Cadillac versus Shaolin. They do it. Fat Annie approves. It's like, it's amazing. But then the boys get caught.
Oh, man.
Oh, everyone got caught in this episode.
Mylene confronts Shao.
Slaps the shit out of Shao.
And then Shao calls her a B-I-T-C-H.
She calls him, I was going to say it in Spanish, but she goes,
Maricón.
She's like, you can't even get it up.
Ay, 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 Dios mío. It was just so, the ending was a lot. There was just so much that happened.
It's a lot of tension. And I love when the three boys got caught because their parents were talking to them. And I felt bad because I'm like, damn, this is what these kids really love to do. But all their parents think they're really selling drugs. I mean, yes, they work where they work. But they're legit doing this music thing, and that's what they love to do.
That's what they love to do.
It was sad to see them all get.
Oh, I want to give a special shout out to Ron Cephas Jones, who plays the dad of the brothers.
He's so funny.
He's everything. Such a great actor. He's also on This Is Us. He comes from the theater too. I know from New York, and I'm. You know, the funny thing is, Ron Cephas Jones started out in the Labyrinth Theater, which is where Stephen Adley Gurgis started as well. So they come from that family. So it's interesting how. You know, people are going to bring their people on. Like,
such a great actor.
Stephen Adley Gurgis, he knew. He's like, I got to bring my boy Ron.
I can't take him on This Is Us because I cry every time. I'm like, I can't take you. But he's such a good dad. He's such a great actor. Mm-hmm. And I love their little family. And I love, like, even though they got in trouble, but I love how he kept it real with them. Like, you come home, brush your teeth. Like, he's like, I only ask you to do three things. Don't do drugs, no graffiti, don't be in no gangs. Like, this is what parents had to deal with their kids. Right. They had to work hard and come home and discipline their kids.
Well, those were episodes 1 and 2.
Ooh, it was so much.
You know we'll be back next week for episode 3 and 4. But before we go, if you could get down, not literally like that, but get down and hang out with anyone in the cast, who would be your favorite person to get down with and why? You wasn't expecting that question.
I wasn't expecting that.
You wasn't expecting that question.
I think I would get down with two people. It would be Shaolin the Fantastic, of course, because I want him to teach me karate.
Okay.
And he has this most amazing, like, he's so conceited in a way and cocky, but he just seems so cool.
Yeah.
And I would love to hang out with Rara just to hear him talk.
just to hear
Rara speak. I would just spend the day with Rara and he'll just help me with a business plan or something or a contract and things like that. So that's who I would hang out with.
I think I'd have to vote Dizzy.
Yeah.
Dizzy's so cool. And like his new scene with all the drag queens on. So fun. And then also the graffiti. I think it would be so cool to experience that.
Yes.
I've never experienced that.
That's dope. The underground.
Bombing. Walking through the underground.
Oh.
Ooh. All right. Who would I hang out with?
Who would you hang out with?
You know, interesting enough, Zeke. You know, I used to write rhymes back in the day.
Hey, are we going to get a freestyle for you?
I don't ever tell people that.
Next episode.
Next episode, I want a freestyle.
I started writing poetry, and then, when I moved to New York and I moved to the Bronx, poetry translated into hip-hop because I wanted to be cool.
Nice.
So I used to write freestyles about, well, not freestyles, just little rhymes about New York and growing up in the Heights and my people. And, I used to tag up the neighborhood, too. Selly before Jesus. Guys, I would get down with Z because he's the man. But make sure you get down with us on Black Hollywood Live for the Get Down After Show. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. You can hang out with me at all things social media at Selly Hangout. Where can folks hang out with you guys?
You guys can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom.
Thanks for watching, guys. You can find me on all social media at Sheldon White 2.
All right, guys, there you have it, the Get Down. You've been getting down with us. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Subscribe to the YouTube page. Listen to us on the go on the podcast. You already know what it is. We are signing out.
Peace.
7 Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.